Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Well, it's another week, and we got a fabulous show. We got a lot to cover, but I feel refreshed. I made it back from Fargo, North Dakota. Doesn't that sound like an exciting vacation destination?
By the way, who are you?
I don't know. Who am I? Anyway, so
this is Shane Vanderhart and Brian Myers here, folks.
Oh yes, hey. Yeah. Well, those silly introduction things. That's just, you know. I'm just so excited to talk to you. So excited to talk to you about my vacation. We didn't actually go to Fargo for the vacation. We had a wedding in Fargo, and then we drove up to Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Okay, we wondered what the deal was that you ended up across the border.
Yeah, and they let me in,
and
they let me back.
And they let you back is more important.
So, yeah. So
what'd you do up there?
It was funny. The Canadian border cross guy said, wait, you're driving all the way from Des Moines to Winnipeg? It's like, why would you come drive to Winnipeg? And, you know, I was like, I'm thinking, great, this is not a good start to the vacation if the Canadian guy is like, why would you come here? You know, so
what are we supposed to do?
Right,
what was it?
Right. Well, we. Well, if I was Donald Trump, I'd just fly my own jet.
Well, whatever.
But anyway,
silly question.
We visited the zoo. We went to, there were different sites around Winnipeg. It was only 4 hours away from Fargo. We had to be in Fargo anyway, which, by the way, Fargo is not a vacation destination. Just saying, in case you were not aware. So it made sense to do that. And then we came back, swung back through the Twin Cities on our way back.
When you talked to the animals up there, did they go, A?
Hey, yeah, the polar bear went, rah, hey. So that was pretty impressive. Anyway, I'm feeling a little punchy. We better get to our topic here.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
I'm sorry. I forgot your news.
I have been informed by my granddaughter that I should run for president.
Well, you know.
Not only that, I have been informed by my granddaughter, that I would be great.
I think you would too. You would join like a gazillion other. Yeah. Well, why not 18 candidates? Actually, even when you consider every single Republican's running, I think the list is like, I want to say close to 40, you know, maybe 45.
You serious?
Serious. You go to the FEC, you know, you go check out financial disclosure forms. They actually have a list of candidates. And it is long, Brian.
And these are Republicans.
Well, not all. A lot of Republicans. I mean, there are a gob of Republicans, people that you've never heard of. So anyway, it's crazy.
Speaking of craziness, we had a debate last night.
Yes, and I want to jump right to that. We're going to cover the happy hour debate this segment, and then talk about the primetime debate in the second segment. But
maybe this is the unhappy hour.
Yeah, well, first thing I have to say is I think the Fox News and whoever was responsible, Ohio Republican Party, I don't know, the people in the happy hour debate deserve to have an audience. They did not allow general admission, and it was only candidate friends and family. And then suddenly, lo and behold, I see a picture in the New York Times Facebook page saying, sparse attendance. It's like, because they didn't allow anybody to attend. It's like, talk about a false narrative. It's, holy cow.
It's great journalism there.
Right, right. The old gray lady. I wish she'd die. So, anyway.
She's on her way.
She's on her way.
She's having
that
a slow death.
Deadwood media. Okay. Carly Fiorina, I think, helped herself probably the most. And I think Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal was a close second, in my opinion, my humble opinion. But I want to play some clips. First of all, you got to hear what Fiorina said about Donald Trump. That's clip one, Ron.
I want to ask that same question, because it's true really of all of you on this stage that, like it or not, Donald Trump is, there's a huge disparity between the poll numbers that you have and the poll numbers that he has. Given also the fact that, you know, Rudy Giuliani said he thought that there might be some Reagan qualities to Donald Trump. So Carly Fiorina, is he getting the better of you?
Well, I don't know. I didn't get a phone call from Bill Clinton before I jumped in the race. Did any of you get a phone call from Bill Clinton? I didn't. Maybe it's because I hadn't given money to the foundation or donated to his wife's Senate campaign. Here's the thing that I would ask Donald Trump in all seriousness. He is the party's front runner right now, and good for him. I think he's tapped into an anger that people feel. They're sick of politics as usual. You know, whatever your issue, your cause, the festering problem you hoped would be resolved, the political class has failed you. That's just a fact, and that's what Donald Trump taps into. I would also just say this, since he has changed his mind on amnesty, on health care, and on abortion, I would just ask, what are the principles by which he will govern?
I want to move.
That was great.
Yeah, that was very good. Rick Perry also had a chance to answer the Trump question. Let's go ahead and let's jump to clip 10 so we hear what Perry had to say.
That is not in the room tonight, Donald Trump. Let's take a look at this graphic that shows the huge amount of political chatter that he is driving on Facebook right now. Some of it good, probably, some of it bad. But he is dominating this conversation. Governor Perry, you two have been going at it. But given the large disparity in your poll numbers, he seems to be getting the better of you.
Well, when you look at the celebrity of Donald Trump, then I think that says a lot about it. One thing I like to remind people is back in 2007, Rudy Giuliani was leading the polls for almost a year. I'll suggest a part of that was his celebrity. Fred Thompson was the other one, a man who had spent a lot of time on that screen. I've had my issues with Donald Trump. I talked about Donald Trump from the standpoint of being an individual who was using his celebrity rather than his conservatism. How can you run for the Republican nomination and be for single-payer health care? I mean, I ask that with all due respect, and nobody on either one of these stages has done more than I've done and the people of the state of Texas to deal with securing that border. We sent our Texas Ranger recon teams. We sent our parks and wildlife wardens. I deployed the National Guard. After I stood on the ramp in Dallas, Texas, and looked the President of the United States in the eye and said, Mr. President, if you won't secure the border, Texas will. And that's exactly what we did. We need a president that doesn't just talk a game, but a president that's got real results.
That's another very strong answer.
Right. And, you know, I'm just thinking, if they actually had an audience, people would be applauding.
Yeah.
But
well,
unfortunately, they didn't.
And kudos to Governor Perry, because he doesn't often, in my estimation, articulate things quite so well as he
actually
just did there.
He did pretty well, much better than I've seen in debates past. I wouldn't say he won it, but I think definitely gets an honorable mention. He didn't hurt himself.
Right. Well, across the board, that answer was very good.
Right, right. And moving on, I also want to pull out Rick Santorum actually made some interesting comments about immigration policy that I'd like to play. He was asked, is Santorum's immigration policy compassionate?
Senator Santorum, you would argue you have one of the tougher positions on illegal immigration in the entire 17 candidate field at the moment. We often talk about this issue on the abstract level in Washington, D.C., but you know how it's being talked about in states like Iowa and New Hampshire among illegals in our country today, 11 million plus. And some are asking, what would you say to a child born and raised in America who could see their family broken apart by your policy?
My father was born in Italy, and shortly after he was born, my grandfather immigrated to this country. And under the laws of this country, he wasn't allowed to be with his father for 7 years. Spent the first 7 years of his life in fascist Italy under Benito Mussolini. Not a very pleasant place to be. I asked my dad after, obviously, I found out about this, and I said, didn't you resent America for not letting you be with your father in those formative and very threatening years? You know what he said to me? America was worth the wait. We're a country of laws, Bill. We're a country of laws, not of men, not of people who do whatever they want to do. I know we have a president who wants to do whatever he wants to do and take his pen and his phone and just tell everybody what he thinks is best. But the reason America is a great country, the reason is because our compassion is in our laws. And when we live by those laws and we treat everybody equally under the law, that's when people feel good about being Americans. And I've put forth an immigration policy that is as strong in favor of the folks who are struggling in America the most than anybody else. It's the strongest pro-worker immigration plan. It says that after 35 million people have come here over the last 20 years, almost all of whom are unskilled workers, flattening wages, creating horrible opportunity, a lack of opportunities for unskilled workers. We're going to do something about reducing the level of immigration by 25%. We're going to be tough at the border. We're going to be tough on all of the illegal immigrants that everybody else in this field. We're going to be different. We're going to be actually out there trying to create a better life for hardworking Americans. All right.
That was a pretty compelling, his personal experience. That was a pretty compelling argument. I mean,
he definitely had an
but
answer there.
I would argue, you know, as far as immigration reform, maybe we need to address if that law is still in place. Children should not have to be separated from their parents to immigrate over here. That's period. I mean, that's, I don't know what was going on at that point in time in history.
Well,
that they couldn't.
Here's the thing. In his case, the whole family wasn't already over here.
Right.
And we've got issues.
Yeah,
like that now, where we've got children that you know are already here,
right?
Not to suggest what he said doesn't have any
right.
Import or value. It's just to say the situation in some respects is different, and we have to, I think, take a hard look at that.
I totally agree, and but to his point, it's like, you know, we do have laws, and we want to be fair to the people who did come here legally. So I totally, you know, see what he's saying there. I want to move on to go. We'll pick up another Rick Santorum clip. He gave we got 5 minutes left, so we'll try to get to as many as we can. He made a great statement on the Supreme Court marriage ruling.
Is Wade and many consider
on the U.S.
In this
Supreme Court. It's been 42 years, Senator Santorum, since Roe versus Wade.
Recently,
many consider in
the
this
U.S.
Supreme Court ruled on same-sex marriage.
Sorry about that. We had a little technical glitch.
Now, that would never happen.
No,
on
Caffeinated
Dots Radio.
Okay, we
never.
had two things. That was clip 9. I need you to play.
In direct contravention,
a case of settled law
to a rogue Supreme Court.
Recently,
yeah, we got a problem with
sorry about that. We'll move on to that. Was a great answer, by the way. Too bad you don't get to hear it.
why don't you say what he said? Summarize it for us.
Basically,
buddy.
He talked about, you know, implementing the Fifth Amendment and 14th Amendment.
Yeah,
you know, applying those protections to the preborn, and that's that was an argument that was he actually articulated that back in 2011, I believe, with the Palmetto Freedom Forum down in South Carolina, because Robert George. Asked him that question, and so I know the kind of the seeds of that was planted back then too, but that was a good statement. I do want to get to Bobby Jindal had some great remarks on Planned Parenthood. That's clip 6.
She would go so far as to shut down the government over the issue of defunding Planned Parenthood. Would you do that? Would you be willing to shut down the government when it comes to defunding this group?
Well, a couple of things. Planned Parenthood had better hope that Hillary Clinton wins this election. Because I guarantee you, under President Jindal, January 2017, the Department of Justice and the IRS and everybody else that we can send from the federal government will be going into Planned Parenthood. This is absolutely disgusting and revolts the conscience of the nation. Absolutely, we need to defund Planned Parenthood. In my own state, for example, we launched an investigation, asked the FBI to cooperate. We just, earlier this week, kicked them out of Medicaid in Louisiana as well, canceled their provider contract. They don't provide any abortions in Louisiana. But in terms of shutting down the government, I don't think President Obama should choose to shut down the government simply to send taxpayer dollars to this group that has been caught, I believe, breaking the law, but also offending our values and our ethics. Martha, it is time for Republicans in D.C. to fight. Too often they give up, they negotiate with themselves. They said they would get rid of the unconstitutional amnesty. They didn't do that. They said they would repeal Obamacare if we gave them the majority. They didn't do that either. They said they'd shrink and balance the budget. They haven't done that. Absolutely, they should fight to defund Planned Parenthood, and I don't think the president should shut down the government simply to send our taxpayer dollars to this group.
That didn't, that, that, That ding ding, that didn't actually go off very often. They were pretty good on time.
Yeah, but what a great concept. He's going to send the Department of Justice and the IRS after him.
Go figure.
Oh, my. Well, I love it.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing. Here's the difference between President Obama sicking the IRS or using the IRS as a political tool and what Jindal's was talking about is that Planned Parenthood has actually broken the law.
Yeah.
So yeah, whether they're violating tax law or not, that I don't know. But definitely there should be a Department of Justice investigation, which I think we're pretty confident this is not going to happen under the Obama administration. So, but it was a good debate. I think a lot of substance there. Certainly had a different tone than the primetime debate as we'll get into the next segment. I wish we had time for another clip. But we don't. What were your thoughts on just what you've heard so far, Brian?
Well, I listened to some of the clips last night and this morning and was once again very impressed with Carly Fiorina. Not to suggest that there weren't some other high points as well, but this is a woman of substance. She is going to be heard from in the political arena, regardless of where her campaign goes.
Yeah,
this woman is here to stay, I think.
Yeah, I think she's going to be. I think you're going to see her on the next primetime debate. I think she's going to rise in the polls. I think Jindal has the opportunity to rise in the polls. I think we're already seeing some movement in Iowa.
And every time you and I have heard her speak, I mean, she's just commanded the room.
Right. I mean, you know, do I agree with her on every issue? No. But she's definitely a compelling candidate and one I think we need to pay attention to.
Absolutely.
And possibly worthy of being on the ticket. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029 and he can help you find the life insurance you need. So, yeah, we want to continue on with our debate coverage. Now we want to get into the prime time debate. And we had Trump.
Happy hours over, everybody.
Trump was in full display with all his Trumpiness. And I just want to, you got
Trumpiness.
Yeah, it's Trumpiness. Trumpiness. And you got to listen to this is like the first question. First question.
Right out of the gate.
Well, I back up. The first question was, are you guys nervous? It was, if you get a chance, if somebody had a clip of just the start of the debate, it was so awkward. So awkward. I thought I was like in junior high school again. but after they got going, then it was like a lot, unlike the happy hour debate, this had a lot of fireworks to it.
Here we go.
All right. Mr. Trump on supporting the nominee and third party run, clip 11.
Gentlemen, we know how much you love hand raising questions. So we promise this is the only one tonight. The only one. Is there anyone on stage, and can I see hands, who is unwilling tonight to pledge your support to the eventual nominee of the Republican Party and pledge to not run an independent campaign against that person? Again, we're looking for you to raise your hand now. Raise your hand now if you won't make that pledge tonight. Mr. Trump, Mr. Trump, to be clear, you're standing on a Republican primary
debate. I fully understand.
The place where the RNC will give the nominee the nod.
I fully understand.
And that experts say an independent run would almost certainly hand the race over to Democrats and likely another Clinton. You can't say tonight that you can make that pledge.
I cannot say. I have to respect the person that, if it's not me, the person that wins. If I do win and I'm leading by quite a bit, that's what I want to do. I can totally make that pledge. If I'm the nominee, I will pledge I will not run as an independent. But and I am discussing it with everybody, but I'm, you know, talking about a lot of leverage. We want to win and we will win. But I want to win as the Republican. I want to run as the Republican nominee.
So tonight you can't say if another one of these.
This is what's wrong. I mean, this is what's wrong. He buys and sells politicians of all stripes. He's already.
Dr. Paul.
Hey, look. He's already.
This is Rand Paul.
His bet on the Clintons, okay? So if he doesn't run as a Republican, maybe he supports Clinton or maybe runs as an independent.
Okay.
But I'd say that he's already hedging his bets because he's used to buying politicians.
Well, I've given him plenty of money.
Just to be clear, you can't make it. We're going to move on. You're not going to make the pledge tonight.
I will not make the pledge at this time.
Okay.
Okay. Whether you,
right out of the gate.
If you love Donald Trump, you're going, yeah. But you know what? I'm done predicting what's going to hurt Donald Trump. I really am, because every time I think he says something that's going to hurt him, it's just like Teflon. Even though Frank Luntz had a focus group during the debate, and is this the end all and be all of how the American people are feeling? No, absolutely not. But
it's a good indicator.
But it's a good indicator, and at least in 2012, it was pretty dead on in some instances. And it's also just fascinating to watch. There were a number of Trump supporters in the room, and there was hardly any after this debate. I don't think he helped himself, but is this going to impact his poll numbers? I have no clue, and I'm not even going to venture a guess.
Well, look, I have to admit, he has done far better in the polls over the last couple of weeks than I would have anticipated. Because as you know,
right,
I wrote him off a few weeks ago.
Right.
But I continue to insist.
You just did not buy in the Trumpiness. I understand.
Yeah. I continue to insist that whatever popularity that he has or had, it is unsustainable. It will not last. It simply won't.
Yeah. I think Rick, going back to Rick Perry's comments, last segment, we've seen leaders in the polls this far out, and polls are fickle things, and they're going to go up and down, and we'll see. I just want to quickly play another clip from Is Donald Trump Part of the War on Women? And he had an interesting exchange with Megyn Kelly, Fox News.
Mr. Trump, one of the things people love about you is you speak your mind and you don't use a politician's filter. However, that is not without its downsides, in particular when it comes to women. You've called women you don't like fat pigs, dogs, slobs, and disgusting animals. Your Twitter account
only
is
Rosie
several...
O'Donnell.
No, it wasn't. Your Twitter account.
Thank you.
For the record, it was well beyond Rosie O'Donnell.
Yes, I'm sure it was.
Your Twitter account has several disparaging comments about women's looks. You once told a contestant on Celebrity Apprentice it would be a pretty picture to see her on her knees. Does that sound to you like the temperament of a man we should elect as president? And how will you answer the charge from Hillary Clinton, who is likely to be the Democratic nominee, that you are part of the war on women?
I think the big problem this country has is being politically correct. I've been challenged by so many people, and I don't frankly have time for total political correctness. And to be honest with you, this country doesn't have time either. This country is in big trouble. We don't win anymore. We lose to China. We lose to Mexico, both in trade and at the border. We lose to everybody. And frankly, what I say, and oftentimes it's fun, it's kidding, we have a good time, what I say is what I say. And honestly, Megan, if you don't like it, I'm sorry. I've been very nice to you, although I could probably maybe not be based on the way you have treated me, but I wouldn't do that. But you know what? We need strength. We need energy. We need quickness. And we need brain in this country to turn it around. That I can tell you right now.
Just one brain. Just one. Just, okay. I want to make a statement here. Real quick, there is a difference between being politically incorrect and just being a jerk. Okay, don't need to say any more about that.
It would be fun too.
Yeah, it would be. I think Megyn Kelly made her point very clearly. Marco Rubio had an excellent statement of life, and Marco Rubio. It was hard to determine. I think a winner from this debate, just because nobody was really getting the same questions. But I think Cruz helped himself. I think Huckabee helped himself. Rubio had a good debate. I was impressed with Carson as well. Marco Rubio had a great answer on life.
You favor a rape and incest exception to abortion bans. Cardinal Timothy Dolan of New York just said yesterday those exceptions are preposterous. He said they discriminate against an entire class of human beings. If you believe that life begins at conception, as you say you do, how do you justify ending a life just because it begins violently through no fault of the baby?
Well, Megyn, first of all, I'm not sure that that's a correct assessment of my record. I would go on to add that I believe all
humans. You don't favor a rape and an incest exception.
I have never said that, and I have never advocated that. What I have advocated is that we pass a law in this country that says all human life at every stage of its development is worthy of protection. In fact, I think that law already exists. It's called the Constitution of the United States. And let me go further. I believe that every single human being is entitled to the protection of our laws, whether they can vote or not, whether they can speak or not, whether they can hire a lawyer or not, whether they have a birth certificate or not. And I think future generations will look back at this history of our country and call us barbarians for murdering millions of babies who we never gave them a chance to live.
Boom.
That last statement, I had goosebumps when
Boom.
He said that. And I'm like, wow, that was powerful.
And that's good to hear, too,
right?
As far as his personal views on abortion.
And I'm glad he nipped that in the bud, because I, when she said that, I was thinking, I never heard him say that.
Right.
What in the world? So he cleared
that
up.
If there was any doubt, he's made that clear.
Yeah, he's
now.
Actually been pretty good on life, so that was kind of a surprise for that question. Ted Cruz talked about faith. I want to play that real quick too. The question was, have you received a word from God? I'm like, uh-oh. You know,
cuz this is the Pat Roberts moment.
Right. But he had a good response.
Senior defense officials tell Fox they strongly suspect Russia was behind a cyber attack on the chairman of the Joint Chiefs office email. Jeez.
We'll go ahead and listen to this. This is a good clip, too.
The director of national intelligence blaming the Chinese for the largest ever cyber attack, stealing personal data of tens of millions of Americans. Senator Cruz, in your view, have Russia and China committed acts of cyber war? And if you were president, what would you do about it?
Well, Brett, of course they have. And over the last 6.5 years, we've seen the consequences of the Obama-Clinton foreign policy. Leading from behind is a disaster. We have abandoned and alienated our friends and allies, and our enemies are stronger. Radical Islam is on the rise. Iran's on the verge of acquiring a nuclear weapon. China is waging cyber warfare against America. Russia, General Soleimani, you just mentioned, the Iranian general, is the head of the Al-Quds forces. He's directly responsible for the murder of over 500 American servicemen in Iraq. And part of this Iranian deal was lifting the international sanctions on General Soleimani. The day General Soleimani flew back from Moscow to Iran was the day we believe that Russia used cyber warfare against the Joint Chiefs. We need a new commander-in-chief that will stand up to our enemies and that will have credibility. It is worth emphasizing that Iran released our hostages in 1981, the day Ronald Reagan was sworn into office.
Yeah, and that was obviously not his statement on faith, but that was another good clip. We're not going to have time to get back to that Cruz clip. But
here's the thing about Cruz. When he speaks, you kind of feel like you did several years ago when Gingrich was in these debates.
He's smart.
This is the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah, he's very, very smart. Jindal might argue with that, though, being a Rhodes Scholar and all. I want to make sure I want to get to a Mike Huckabee clip. He had a good statement on Iran. This is about a minute, 10 seconds long. It's clip 18, Ron. Or excuse me, 17.
Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify. President Obama is trust but vilify. He trusts our enemies and vilifies everyone who disagrees with him. And the reason we disagree with him has nothing to do with party. It has to do with the incredibly dangerous place that this world is going to be as a result of a deal in which we got nothing. We didn't even get four hostages out. We got nothing. And Iran gets everything they want. We said we would have anywhere, anytime negotiations and inspections. We gave that up. We said that we would make sure that they didn't have any nuclear capacity. We gave that up. The president can't tell us what we got. I'll tell you what the world got. The world has a burgeoning nuclear power that didn't, as the Soviets say, we might defend ourselves in a war. What the Iranians have said is, we will wipe Israel off the face of the map, and we will bring death to America. When someone points a gun at your head and loads it, by God, you ought to take them seriously, and we need to take that seriously.
Thank you, gentlemen.
So, again, that was probably, I think, one of his more poignant statements, and certainly, again, going back to the lunch group, that was one that was probably the most
resonated
with the focus group that he had. And I thought that was one that stuck out in my mind, watching the debate, too. Scott Walker, he did fine. He didn't hurt himself. I don't think he's going to see a bump out of it because, frankly, there wasn't really much he said that really stuck out to me. But he didn't hurt himself, though.
One of the clips they had on the news was the one in which he pointed out that he had defunded Planned Parenthood years before these videos surfaced.
And there's some people I'm hearing feedback in Wisconsin that's not necessarily accurate. I got to explore that a little bit more. But apparently, that what they're calling defunding was really more of a reduction in what they're paying out. So look for Caffeinate Thoughts. We'll be having an article on that probably coming up soon. Because I want to explore that. I just need to talk to a few people on the ground there. Let's see, Ben Carson, I wish we had time, but he had the best line of the night, I believe. He's in his closing statement, he said, I could talk about, I'm the only one who's done certain things and don't have time. But he basically said, I've taken out half a brain, and if you go to Washington, D.C., you'll find that maybe I wasn't the first one to do that after all. Paraphrasing. This is Caffeinate Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, this is Caffeinate Thoughts Radio. Caffeinate Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries. Scott Owen offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give him a call at 515-292-7141 or check out crosswalkcounseling.org. And we have a special guest on the line. U.S. Senator Joni Ernst is joining Caffeinate Thoughts Radio. Welcome, Senator Ernst, to Caffeinate Thoughts Radio.
Oh, good morning. It's great to be with you. Thanks so much.
Great. So I just want to jump right in. You have been kind of behind the charge to defund Planned Parenthood. in the U.S. Senate. And I was wondering, after this bill failed to meet was filibustered and you couldn't get a cloture vote passed, what's kind of next on the radar for you with Planned Parenthood?
Well, I tell you, so many Americans are outraged by the videos that have surfaced about Planned Parenthood. It's abhorrent, and I think Republicans, Democrats alike absolutely can't stand what's going on behind those closed doors. So the fight is not over yet. We were not able to meet cloture, but I do want to remind everybody we did get a majority of votes in the Senate, and we were joined by two very brave Democrats that stepped forward to defund Planned Parenthood. So while we weren't able to do it this past week, we will continue with the investigations. I have sent a letter with 49 other senators to Secretary Sylvia Burwell of Health and Human Services, asking her to further review this situation and preserve any documents which might be needed for investigations in the future. We do have a number of committees, both in the House and the Senate, that will want to do investigations on this issue. So we will continue pressing the issue. And I think as more of these videos surface, hopefully we can gain on that groundswell that we already have and continue working towards our vision of defunding Planned Parenthood. I do want to remind everybody we do have other efforts ongoing as well,
sure,
with the pain-capable five-month ban on abortion. That should be coming up later this fall. So a lot of different things we're working on.
Okay. I know there was an attempt to add defunding language to the highway bill, and you had voted against the rule change for that. Could you explain why you voted against that? Just because I'm hearing, I'm hearing grassroots activists say, hey, what was going on there?
Right.
Well, remember the outrage when they changed the rule to vote and fund Obamacare? That's the outrage that we have with entirely changing the rules of the Senate. We have rules in place to allow us to do our business in an orderly fashion. And I look at any organization, if you don't have order, chaos, and seize, and what this change would have done is basically allow any senator to bring up amendments at any time and unlimited amendments, we would never be able to get work done in the United States Senate. So we have to be very careful when we're just randomly voting to change the rules. That's why we have a constitution is set up, so that we move forward in our government in an orderly manner. We can't just do whatever we want, whenever we want, just because we feel like it. We have to have order in the Senate.
And I was wondering, is there any talk about getting the whole, I know people are frustrated with the filibuster. I know when we're in the minority party, we like it. But Democrats talked about, exercising nuclear option. I actually think they did in a couple instances.
Yes, they did. Twice.
Has anybody discussed doing that with this particular issue?
There's always discussions going on behind closed doors. Of course, we try and strategize and really look at the repercussions because, while it may look great on the surface, we have to make sure that there aren't those secondary and tertiary effects.
Sure.
If we do this, what are the Democrats going to use this on? So it's not as simple, I think, as just saying, hey, we're going to do this and get this through, because once we've done it, we've set that precedent. And, like I said, we have to follow order in the Senate. That is so important that we do it that way.
Well, Senator McConnell has made it pretty clear that it's not going to happen. From his perspective, we've tried this before and we didn't like the outcome, so we're not going to do this again.
Well, again, the leader will sort through those issues. I know all of us sort through those issues on our own, and making sure that, again, we're thinking about, okay, if we do this, what is going to happen next? What other maneuvers can be done against us, if we use this particular maneuver? So a lot of strategy goes into the moves that are made, but we want to make sure that we're not just tearing apart the Senate just for the sake of a singular vote. there will be other opportunities for voting on these measures, things that we believe are right. But again, there's a lot of strategy involved to make sure that we are advancing our cause and not, remember, we do want some of those Democrats, especially with this issue, we want some of those pro-life Democrats to join us. And if we can advance towards a 5-month pain-capable ban on abortion, we need to keep advancing towards that goal. I think that's one thing that we need to look at is we don't want to necessarily ban all of them together just simply against us. We need to find people that really believe in this issue and want to support us as well. We don't want to push them away.
Senator Ernst, we only have a few moments left with you, and we want to get to the Iran deal. But before we go there, I wanted to ask you real quickly, what do you say to your colleagues that are maintaining that we can't possibly defund Planned Parenthood? We don't want to hurt this organization that provides all sorts of health benefits. Excuse me. Let me put that a different way. It helps an awful lot of people.
Women's health.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How do you respond to your colleagues that say that they provide this indispensable service to women?
Well, what we're trying to do, and with my bill, the beauty of it is that we are defunding Planned Parenthood. We're taking away taxpayer dollars, but redirecting those dollars to other organizations, which actually provide a greater spectrum of women's health care services. Our community health centers, our local community hospitals. There is a fallacy with Planned Parenthood and that they provide all of these wonderful services. They don't even do mammograms at Planned Parenthood. They have to make referrals to these other organizations for women.
I don't think there's a lot of people that understand that either.
Yeah, and they don't get it. They think, oh, this is wonderful. They provide all these great services. But a lot of times they make referrals to the hospitals. They make referrals to the community health centers.
Yeah.
So we know that Planned Parenthood is funded also by a lot of very large donors. Well, you know what? If they want to keep those Planned Parenthood centers open, then those large donors can continue to contribute. But we do not want taxpayer dollars going to an organization that is selling baby body parts potentially for profit. Like I said, it's abhorrent to the American people. We have to stop this organization from doing that.
Great. We just have like not even 2 minutes left. So what is your chief concern with the Iran deal?
There are many, many concerns. First is there is not inspections at any time, anywhere. The inspections, it's not based on verification because we know that there will be many sites, many places where they can work on nuclear uranium enrichment that we simply won't have timely access to. So I don't agree with that. The second is we are releasing up to $150 billion of economic sanctions relief that will go to Iran, which will allow them to fund terrorism. They are a state sponsor of terrorism. And, you know, the victims of that terrorism are often Americans and Israelis and our allies. And what we allow them to do is, you know, they say that this freezes nuclear uranium enrichment. It freezes their nuclear program.
And we're out of time.
But I don't see that.
Senator, thank you so much for coming on Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Thank you.
We'll be back.
Thanks so much.
She is a good friend, but I just don't know how to fix this conflict. I wonder if it's time to just walk away. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. In today's disposable society, it sometimes doesn't seem worth the effort to risk confronting a friend. After all, they will only get defensive, and that would ruin the friendship anyway. To avoid losing a friend or making a conflict worse, consider using the peacemaker pause. The A of pause reminds us to affirm the relationship. Use your energy to attack the problem, but affirm the relationship. The Bible says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." If you are at a walkaway point in a friendship, call 515-635-5465 to set up a free consultation, or visit our website at crosswalkcounseling.org. Again, that number is 515-635-5465.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Hey, Des Moines, have you heard? Everything you need for personal protection and self-defense is now here. Whether it's the next piece of gear, training, or a day at the range, it's all available at Iowa's only, let me say that again, only indoor shooting range. Available at Crossroads Shooting Sports. The indoor climate control range features 17 lanes up to 25 yards in distance. The Pro Shop has gear for men and women and training classes for basic and advanced skill levels for self-defense and personal protection for your home and family. Go to crossroadsshooting.com. That's crossroadsshooting.com. Iowa's only indoor shooting range.
And now.
I'm excited.
We've come to my favorite part of the show. We're about to share a story that is truly unbelievable. Yet, you know it must be true because...
You can't make this stuff up.
Okay, this I think I got from UPI. No, excuse me, it's Reuters. A bounty hunter was arrested after gathering a posse and mistakenly trying to raid the home of Phoenix's chief of police. Officials said on Wednesday.
Good job on you.
Brent Farley, 43, and 10 others surrounded Chief Joseph Yonner's home around 10 p.m. local time on Tuesday, thinking they were cornering an Oklahoma fugitive wanted on a drug charge. Police said the bounty hunters were told that they had the wrong address and were asked to leave numerous times.
Did he not pull out his badge?
We're going to get to that. The department said Farley, who confronted the chief after banging on the door and demanding he come outside, was carrying a handgun at the time, as were several others. A video of the incident provided by police showed Chief Yonner, clad only in his underwear, stepping outside his home with a baton in his hand.
Now, did he wear boxers or briefs?
Listen, we don't want to go there. Anyway, he's got a baton in his hand, and he's headed over to the bounty hunters. Okay. Police spokesman Trent Crump said there was no physical altercation, and nobody got shot either. I guess all this is good. Crump said 8 of the individuals were men and 3 others were women, including a relative of one of the men who was riding along in an 11-year-old girl who was wearing a toy gun belt. I mean, are you serious? Okay. The bondsmen were working on behalf of 2 bond recovery companies, North Star Fugitive Recovery and Delta One Tactical Recovery, police said, and appeared to have acted on an unconfirmed tip on the suspect's location. Get this from social media.
Because it's always
it's
accurate.
It's always true, right?
Of course, any of my tweets and Facebook posts are totally 100% accurate.
Always. Farley was charged with disorderly conduct and criminal trespass. Crump said additional charges against the 10 others were possible as well. As for Farley, who is a felon.
Who gave him a license to be a bounty hunter?
He's a felon. The recovery firms could not be immediately reached for comment. But a posting by North Star on its Facebook account earlier on Tuesday asked for tips as to the location of the fugitive, who was a black man. Wait for it, folks. Chief Yonner is white.
There's so much wrong with the story that I don't think we could do it justice in the amount of time we have. But
dear.
It's
send your you can't make this stuff up ideas to story@caffeinatedthoughts.com. That's story@caffeinatedthoughts.com. We'll give you the credit or the blame if we use your suggestion on the show.
And, oh, wow.
Don't you love life?
I'm speechless,
life?
Yeah.
Don't, I mean, you life is always much more creative than fiction.
It is very true. Well, on that note, this is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Van Hurt with Brian Myers, and we'll see you next week.
Take care, everybody.
Des Moines, have you heard? Everything you need for personal protection and self-defense is now here. Crossroads Shooting Sports. Whether it's the next piece of gear, training, or a day at the range, it's all available at Iowa's only indoor shooting range. The indoor climate control range features 17 lanes up to 25 yards in distance. The Pro Shop has gear for men and women and training classes for basic and advanced skill levels. Go to crossroadsshooting.com for self-defense and personal protection for your home and family. That's crossroadsshooting.com.